how far apart are those six-pack muscles? And we used to talk about, you know, how far apart are you? I'm 2 fingers, I'm 6 fingers, I'm 12 fingers, whatever.
Thank you for assuming we all had six packs to start with.
It's actually a 10-pack, but I'm throwing you a freaking bone here.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So there's nothing like challenging our inner badass than having a dysfunction in our pelvic floor. For the men who love to listen in on our podcast, that's your cue to skip to the next episode. But today what we're going to talk about is the strength of your pelvic floor and what we need to know about it. I'm joined today by Hannah Ross. Hannah is a pelvic floor physiotherapist, and she's the owner of Vital Physiotherapy here in Toronto. She is an expert in her field. She's absolutely hilarious, a mother of four, and she is going to give us the lowdown on what we need to know. You know, I certainly understood the consequences of pelvic floor dysfunction as a naturopathic doctor in my practice. But once I really started to become aware of the things that we could do about it, I noticed conversations related to women's pelvic floors happening all over the place. It would be small groups of women joking at a cocktail party that they can't go running anymore without a little bit of leakage, or they can't go on a trampoline with their kids because they're always running into problems. And while these things are easy to joke about, it is sad to me that the poise underwear industry is taking such a huge part of the market the way that they are. They're able to do that because we aren't given the opportunity to actually rehabilitate our bodies and connect to our bodies the way we could if we were being serviced and working with a pelvic floor physio. I wish for every woman that she doesn't have to wear big plastic underwear in order to feel confident leaving her house. I wish for every woman that they know how to handle that situation themselves. And so today we're getting the lowdown on pelvic floor physio, what you need to know, what you can do about it, and the signs and symptoms that you need to be aware of. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to my favorite mama, entrepreneur, and pelvic physio, Hannah Ross. Hannah Ross, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm so excited. This day has finally come. We've talked about this for a while now. You're my hero. You've got a lot going on. How are you holding up?
I'm doing great. Lots of juggling, lots of imperfection, but also lots of beautiful time. So it's good.
Yeah. So for those of you who are like, what are you talking about? It's only been 30 seconds of this interview. I think she's okay. Hannah just had her fourth baby, and she runs a pelvic floor physiotherapy empire. And she is a consummate doer, and you're amazing. You're totally a hero in my books. And that's why I asked how you're holding up, because regardless of having all of these things on our plate and being super awesome at being able to manage them, the reality is some days are good and some days are not so good. So how, you've got this beautiful family, you've got this amazing career, you've got a lot going on. You probably have like a renovation or five happening in the background. How did you get here? Like, what's your story?
I decided I wanted to have kids, and I wanted to be in physio school. But aside from all of that, how did I get to pelvic physio? I was a regular old physiotherapist. I was still my amazingness, but at about, I would say 7 years in, 6 years in, I decided I really wasn't interested in physio anymore. And I started to look into other options. Around that same time, I had just had my second baby. I was experiencing a lot of pain and I went to my doctor and my doctor told me that everything was fine. And I really didn't feel fine. And a friend of mine had just done this pelvic physio training and she was like, come on in. I really think I can help you. And I went to see her and long story short, she changed my life. I went from feeling like I couldn't figure out what's wrong. My body was failing me and she treated me and all of a sudden I had this epiphany that I really wanted to do this for other people. And so I started, taking some physio courses and, I started to see clients and bit by bit, we built it up to a whole clinic.
Amazing. And so how long have you been doing this?
About 5 years.
And how is this different from your experience as a practitioner from what you were doing before? And not to take away from anyone who's doing that, but what's different about it?
Okay, so pelvic physio, we call ourselves like the gynecologist, the physiotherapist. It really is very intimate.
We're just going to pause here. For any of my male followers who are like, I love your podcast no matter what, you're not going to like this episode.
Well, we see men too, Megan.
I know, but since we support badass women and since we're going to be talking about vaginas and pelvic floor health. I mean, listen, guys, you're welcome to hang out here. I do not want to make any kind of sweeping generalizations. Just saying, you might want to skip on to the next episode. Okay, back to where we were. The gynecologist, the physiotherapist.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we're talking to people, basically the pelvic floor is a group of muscles that support our basic human functions. Like when you think of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the ones that are at the very bottom are the ones that your pelvic floor supports. They support continence, they support sexuality, they support your internal organs, they hold everything up, they're involved in breathing, and they're involved in controlling you, keeping you upright. And when any of those areas are not working well, very often there's a crossover into the other area. So if somebody comes in and they're telling me that they're, you know, that they're leaking urine, first of all, I'm talking to a woman about the fact that she's leaking urine. So it's not like, hey, my shoulder hurts. And I just go look at her shoulder. There has to be a certain basic level of, safety within the room. You have to be able to connect with your clients. You have to be able to make sure that they feel comfortable and supported before you even interview them really in your first assessment. So there's a huge amount of human connection that's involved in this therapy that I absolutely love.
And it is so intimate and so personal. And I think one of the challenges I certainly see in my practice when I refer to you and your clinic and other physiotherapists who are focusing in this area is that one, no one ever talks about this. So we have no idea about what is, what's normal. And two, even if we're like, okay, this isn't normal, it takes a big leap to get to a place where you're like, okay, I'm really willing and okay to have someone actually help me with this. How are people's lives actually changed when they work with a pelvic physio?
Well, first of all, there's a huge amount of shame involved when these things are not working well. I have clients who loved the gym and they won't return because every time they go for a run, they're leaking urine there and, you know, they're hugely embarrassed. Their relationship with their partner is going to be affected if their sexual life is affected. If they're not, if they're having pain with intercourse, if they're, you know, if they're having lack, they don't have the same sensation that they used to have. And, you know, very often, even postpartum, we see there's this period afterwards where if somebody's delivered either vaginally or by cesarean section where they won't actually, they're not intimate with their partner and it takes a huge toll. And then there's a lot of guilt and then there's a lot of shame and it actually spirals out of control pretty quickly. By giving them tools to manage this and knowing who to refer to, that gives them back this sense of control and empowers them in their lives.
Yeah, and I remember, like, I would send I would send patients, I've been sending patients to see pelvic physios for a long period of time. And when I had my first, I remember having her and I felt amazing. And I had no idea how my pelvic floor was supposed to feel after giving birth. But I know at like 4 weeks, I was like, oh, this is fine. Who are these people who need pelvic floor physiotherapy? And then at 6 weeks, I was in Vancouver. I was speaking at an event and she was with me. My mom was with me. And we're walking around Whistler Village. I remember this so clearly. And I was like, oh gosh, what just happened to my body? And I got on the phone and I called the physiotherapist who worked in my clinic. And I was like, I need a referral. Like I get this. And after each of my kids, this was something that I committed to addressing right up front. And I share this because I think we all are like, oh, that happens to other people. And sister, I'm telling you, it happens to all of us. Like there isn't a single postpartum mother that I don't say, go see a pelvic floor physio, because we're so
You don't know.
It's like when I'm working with my trainer and they're like, use your abs. I'm like, I don't even know that I'm not using them. Your pelvic floor is like at a whole new degree. So, you know, I think there's obvious symptoms and there's not obvious symptoms, but can we actually just start by calling out some of the obvious things? Cause I think a lot of people are walking around with stuff that we joke about when we're with a group of girls and we're like, that's not okay.
Yeah. And so I think again, there's the five jobs that the muscles have to do. They have to hold up your organs, your bladder, your uterus, and your anus, and your rectum. They maintain continence. So both urinary continence and fecal continence. And I think that this is one that, you know, if you feel heaviness and you feel like there's something, there's an organ hanging out of your vagina, you know, people are pretty well aware that that's not normal. What I think people don't, they don't recognize as abnormal is, I'm not incontinent. I don't leak. It's only when I have a full bladder and I'm jumping on a trampoline and my friend makes me laugh and bumps into me at the same time that I'll leak urine. But the thing is, any leaking of urine at any point in time is not normal and is totally treatable. So, you know, I people who avoid going with their kids on trampolines or avoid, you know, playing football with their kids because they're running back and forth, that you don't have to live like that. The other part that many people don't recognize is the fact that there's not only urinary incontinence, but you can also lose feces, which people get in my door pretty quickly when that's happening. But constipation is also an issue with the pelvic floor. Just like those muscles can be weak. And I think that people, when you think of pelvic floor, you think about Kegels and you think that, okay, I got to strengthen my pelvic floor. I have to go and do a million Kegel exercises. Very often, especially postpartum, the same way that if you go to the gym and you worked your bicep, you would stretch it afterwards. Your pelvic floor has to be able to go through its full length of range of motion. It shouldn't just be strengthening all the time. You actually have to know how to relax those muscles too. And if you think that we have poor awareness of the muscles at the best of times, people kind of get what a Kegel is, but they don't understand how to release those muscles. And that's where the pelvic floor's role in respiration is comes to play. Because, we talk about leaking, we talk about painful sex, we talk about, even back pain or hip pain can really be a pelvic floor issue. In fact, we have some studies now that say that 95% of women with low back pain actually have pelvic floor dysfunction.
And what is that, a chicken or an egg there? Like, is it the pelvic floor first and then it causes the back pain? Or is there something with the feedback of low back pain that...
I don't know. I can't answer that. What I can say is pain is very complex. What I find in my own personal experience, not speaking to, I have no research on this. When we try to guard, when we try to protect our pelvic floor, because it's such an intimate area, it's one of the first places that women go into protective mode, where they start to clench those muscles and they won't let go.
Right.
And so one of the first things we do is teach them how to release that.
So if we're I'm just going to digress for 1 second. If we're talking about like we're uptight or we're like even subconsciously like clenching those muscles, and like I'm just thinking like how many women I know who are starting their career and they just finished school and then they get pregnant and they're anxious. And I'm like, what is happening to your pelvic floor when we're at a phase where we really want to have appropriate functionality there? Should people be seeing you before they have a baby?
Please. It's actually one of my favorite things to do because,
you're so weird. I love you for that.
It's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
Because like when you think about delivering a baby, one of our responses to pain is to clench. And to deliver a baby vaginally, you actually have to learn how to relax your pelvic floor and release those muscles. It actually shortens labor. It makes it more efficient. It makes it less likely that you're going to tear, less likely that you're going to need any interventions. And so if we can get women before delivery and optimize their sense of that area, then we can often prevent a lot of the dysfunction that we're seeing afterwards. Now, don't get me wrong. Having been through it 4 times, labor and delivery is a total gong show. So you can't really...
In a really empowering way.
Yeah. You can be as prepared as possible, but recognize there are going to be other forces that are at play here. I mean, a beautiful and magical and spiritual gong show. But, there really are a lot of... There's a lot of things that happen during delivery that we can't control, but there are things that we can control. And if you see pelvic physio beforehand, you can control a whole host of things or learn how to manage them.
Okay, so now people are like, all right, I'm sold. This sounds interesting. I'm all about supporting myself as a woman and optimizing my health and like all of these things that we all kind of cheer on. And I think the elephant in the room and the question everyone is begging to understand is, so what's the experience like? Like what happens?
So this is the part where people are like, okay, I'm in, but I don't want to do that. Right. So, like I said, we call ourselves like the gynecologist, the physiotherapist, because we do an internal vaginal exam at your assessment. And in order to teach you how to use those muscles, there is an internal component. Having said that, that is not the entirety of the physio assessment or treatment. Because these muscles are involved in so many different areas of our lives, there's actually a lot of talking involved. The majority of our time is spent with education and talking about, your health history, your urological history, your gynecological history, your sexual history, your musculoskeletal history. There's a lot of stuff that kind of gets put into play here when we're talking about your pelvic health. Having said that, once we go through a regular musculoskeletal assessment, we'll look at you squatting, we'll look at you lunging, we'll look at your range of motion, your back range of motion. We'll determine what your goals are. If your goal is to run without leaking, I have to look at you running. If your goal is to be able to my CrossFitters, if they want to be able to do double unders, I have to watch them do double unders and see where, is it an external muscle issue that they're leaking, or is it an internal muscle issue? And after all of that, then we get to the internal assessment. And it's very different than, going for a pap smear. There's no speculums involved. For people who are coming to us because they're having pain, the thing that I always tell them is, number one, if you're uncomfortable going to your pelvic physio, if you're worried, it's actually the physio's job to make you feel calm, to make you feel comfortable. This is what we see all day long. We get it. Like we are there to make you feel comfortable, and you have to consent to every single step of the way. So if somebody comes in and is like, I want to talk, I want to see you, but I'm not comfortable today having an internal assessment. You're not having an internal assessment. There's nobody's getting forced here. And I think that once people understand that it's not happening, whether you like it or not, then they're like, okay, I can, it's their choice. The other part is, if you have pain, it's our job to teach you how to get rid of the pain. So we're not just going to be like, okay, suck it up, take a deep breath, and here we go. It's our job to assess what the muscles are doing. And if there's pain there, we're going to figure out how to teach you to use them so that you get rid of the pain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And the reason why I love you guys so much is, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, is that there is so much shame associated with this, and no one knows where to turn to talk to about these issues, which is why I was really excited to bring this conversation to the forefront on the podcast, because I remember when I was having challenges after having my first, I asked my midwife who she would recommend I see, because I was waiting for the woman who worked in my clinic to give me a recommendation, but I wanted to see what my midwife would have to say. And she's like, oh, honey, that sucks. Like, they could do surgery if you really needed to. And I was like, oh, you're the midwife. Like, the only option is not, oh, you should be experiencing, or you should have to have surgery to sort this problem out. So I was like, good Lord, I can only imagine what the OBs are saying if the midwife is like, this is the only choice. So I really do think this is like a heroic offering for women. And I'm so grateful for what you guys are doing in that respect. I really feel like it should be our collective mission to put poise and all these like feminine, confident underwears out of business, because we don't necessarily need it. I want to talk about one other piece, and that is diastasis, because I know a lot of women talk about that. And I know the other thing that I hear all the time, this is truly what happens in my office, is they have a baby and then they come in and I was like, okay, we need to send you somewhere to have your pelvic floor assessed. And they're like, I'm fine. You know what? 4 weeks postpartum, I've been running 5 days a week. No problems. We can skip that. Yep. And then they're And then they're lifting weights. They're doing things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to hit menopause and you're only going to wear poise. So, I send them anyways, and we usually get there. But one of the things that will often, they'll come back, is they'll say, listen, like, my pelvic floor is legit. Okay. My physio says it's fine, but man, my abs, they're a mess. Right. So what's the deal there?
Okay. So, one of the things that I think the fitness industry has done well, you know, it's done us a service and a disservice, is that they've talked about the core a lot. And so people get that your core needs to be strong in order to function. The part that's been missed is what your core actually is. During pregnancy, your abdominals, we have four layers of abdominals. They actually, you know, your six-pack muscles is a three-pack and a three-pack with tissue in between it. And that tissue in between it, called the linea alba, actually stretches during pregnancy. Totally normal. And that's exactly how your body was built in order to accommodate a baby. And postpartum, when sometimes those two sides don't exactly come back together quite as well, you start to see a separation, a diastasis. So the way that you can assess that, we used to look at how far apart are those six-pack muscles. And we used to talk about, how far apart are you? I'm two fingers, I'm six fingers, I'm 12 fingers, whatever.
Thank you for assuming we all had six packs to start with.
It's actually a 10-pack, but I'm throwing you a freaking bone here. but it's the people with six packs that have the worst diastasis. No, I'm just joking. The thing that we understand now is, first of all, nobody knows how close their abs were together prior to pregnancy. Your six-pack muscles were not on top of each other. There was space between them. But what we did know prior to pregnancy was you weren't able to stick your fingers down in between the six-pack muscles. What we're looking for is at the center of your abdomen, around where your belly button is, and you can go up to your ribs and all the way back down, all along that center. We're looking to see, can you stick your fingers down in there? Is there tension? Meaning, are the muscles behind your six-pack muscles supporting your vital organs? And the reason why this is a pelvic floor issue is because your inner core, so this is where the fitness industry has kind of missed it a little bit. Your inner core is actually made up of your innermost abdominal muscle. There's four layers of abdominal muscles. The innermost one works together with your pelvic floor, your breathing muscle, your diaphragm, and your innermost back muscles. And so if I visualize this almost like a can of Coke. I know, as an naturopath, we're not a can
I don't even have words, but keep going. You've got the floor.
a can of something very healthy. And so the top part is your diaphragm. The bottom part would be your pelvic floor muscles holding all that up. The front part will be your inner abs, and circling all the way around the back would be your innermost back muscles. And they're your pressure system. So as soon as you open that can of very healthy, nutritious liquid, you've changed the pressure in that system. And essentially, that's what happens with labor and delivery. You've changed the pressure and you have to retrain the system.
And so what if you don't? Like, what if, you know, you're still like, it's good enough. When do we start to see a resurgence? Like, I can certainly tell you in practice where I start to have people complaining of issues, but I'm curious in your experience where we see this like second wind of symptoms, as it were.
There's a couple of things. So for some women who immediately postpartum are actually like kind of like you, feeling really great. And, you know, they actually challenge their system too much too soon. We have women who, you know, we have women who will book in for 6 week postpartum checkup with us and they start their rehab right away. And then we have those who at like 7 months postpartum are like, oh my God, things are totally fine. I've been doing, you know, boot camp and all of a sudden I feel like things are hanging out of me. Who they didn't take the time. We really say you have to retrain your body from the inside out. If you're not retraining those innermost, like those vital parts of your body, then you're putting too much pressure on them, and you're gonna see symptoms. The next most frequent time that we see clients is actually around menopause. Like once there's a hormone change, estrogen is part of, you know, really helps to plump up your muscles. And once there's a change in the amount of estrogen in that musculature, and those muscles were already not functioning quite optimally, then you start to see symptoms again. But at the end of the day, they're muscles like any other. So use it or lose it, right? The same way that we try to stay strong in the rest of our musculoskeletal system, you gotta keep your pelvic floor muscles strong, coordinated, and flexible.
Yeah, it's kind of true to any system in life with respect to our body. If we're not paying attention to it and we're not attuned to it, then it can and will fall by the wayside. Our bodies want attention. They want help.
And listen, like a lot of my clients at this point who are in perimenopause or in menopause, we weren't talking about this stuff when they were having babies, right? And still, although many healthcare providers are incredible and they're sending their clients to pelvic physio either prenatally or postpartum, it's still primarily we're seeing clients because girlfriends are telling girlfriends. It's still something that's like, oh, you're leaking? Well, I got to tell you who I saw. And it's still something that's being whispered about. It's not there yet.
I do feel like it's changing. Like, yeah. It's like this. It's like the Underground Railroad of pelvic floor rehab, where I'm like, more and more people are like, oh yeah, I got a girl. Like everyone's got somebody that's been helping them with this. And so, you know, I think if you're out there and you're thinking, oh gosh, like I am not sure I'm ready for this, I promise you, like it really will change your life. And it's actually not that big a deal.
Usually, somebody will, you know, the first assessment. You know, our clients are really shy. By the third visit, they're like, you know, they're undressing on the table before I even turn around. You know, like it is our job to make them feel comfortable, and we're not doing our job if you don't feel comfortable.
Totally. Yeah, no, I totally appreciate that. And so, you know, if people are like, all right, I'm in, I'm going to do this. What kind of training should they be looking for when they are assessing the credentials of a practitioner who can assess and help them?
Well, I always say it's very similar to any other, focused area of practice that you would want to see in a healthcare provider. So if I was looking for somebody who I wanted to get acupuncture from, I wouldn't go to someone who does it, you know, every sixth client. I want somebody who all they do is acupuncture. In order to be a pelvic physio, you need one course, and it's a weekend course. My practitioner is at my clinic. I do not hire somebody who has just one course. It is all we do all day long. I think that there are a couple of websites that you can have a look at, and you can see what the credentials are of pelvic physios. There's a pelvic floor roster and registry. There are a number of courses on incontinence. There's courses on pain. I think that our pain science has been exploding. We have so much research on what causes pain, what it is, how to treat it. And it's very different than the old way that we used to treat it. And I if somebody's been in pain for a long time, you can't have them, I cannot in good conscience send them to somebody who doesn't understand the new science of pain. I would say at least within Toronto, there's a training group called Pelvic Health Solutions. At the very minimum, you need to have their first three courses at baseline.
Yeah, you want someone who's kind of good at this stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to be seeing somebody who dabbles in it. From a physio perspective, there's a lot of, like, when we're assessing somebody, you're feeling, right? You're seeing what you feel. And if you're not feeling that all day long, you don't really know what you're feeling. You want somebody who's done it.
100%. And I actually don't know many women out there who are going to be like, I'm gung-ho to have this treatment done, but I'm totally cool with someone who isn't sufficiently credentialed or experienced, right? Like, we're all going to be on the same page. We just sometimes need to know what it is that we're looking for. Hannah, what do you want your legacy to be?
That's funny. I've been thinking a lot about this. I actually want my daughters to know that they can do anything. I want them to know that they are capable, that if they want to start a clinic, they can start a clinic. If they want to change women one pelvic floor at a time, they can. They want to be stay-at-home moms, that's great. I want them to know there are opportunities out there for them, and that nobody can tell them the right opportunities are. They get to decide that for themselves.
I love that. How would you define health?
So being that I'm 6 weeks postpartum.
Yes.
I think that health is a lot more than just, we've been talking a lot about the physical side of things postpartum, but I think about health a little bit more holistically. I think it's more about optimizing all areas of our lives, our relationships, our physical self, both our nutrition and our musculoskeletal selves. But I think a lot of a big area that I see getting missed when we go into start to try to better ourselves health wise is the social, the psychological aspects. So this is my very long-winded answer to say, I think that health is just little goals in every area of your life and consistently walking towards them. And as long as you're moving in the right direction, then you are moving towards health.
Well said. Progress, not perfection, right?
Yes.
I feel like perfection is beaten out of you one child at a time. Has certainly been my experience.
Yeah. I'm like hovering perfectionist. And there's so many balls in the air, they can't all be perfect.
Yeah, nor do they need to be. Our body is a series of interconnected systems. What is happening in one system puts pressure on another. We understand this intuitively, and yet the most powerful medical system in the world, Western medicine, continues to evaluate our health in individualized silos. We have assessments related to cardiovascular health, oncology, respirology, dermatology. We have individual silos of expertise. When we assess the body from a functional perspective in our practice, we want to understand not whether you are necessarily fine in all of these different systems, but whether or not they are functioning in an integrative manner in a way that moves you closer to optimal health. While there are lots of functional tests that we can do to be able to assess that, technology is enabling us to start to look at this thing on the basis of artificial intelligence through the aggregation of data. We do this in our practice using a tool called Living Matrix, and I want to make this assessment available to you. If you go to our new website, anthropologyperformancelabs.com, on the front page, you will see an opportunity for you to opt in into your personalized functional medicine quiz. Completing this questionnaire will take approximately 40 minutes of your time, and when you're finished, we're going to prompt you to have an opportunity to sit down from someone on our medical team to review your individualized results. We are all on big missions. We are all trying to change the world. It's no longer sufficient for our health to simply be fine. For us to achieve what we want to do as badass women with a vision for how we can help the world, we need to move our health to a place of optimal. And I invite all of you the opportunity to see how close to that line you really are. Go to anthropologyperformancelabs.com and do your quiz today. What a perfect place to transition to the second part of the interview. And I call these our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them with respect to our health as well. So I've got 6 questions for you if you're ready.
Okay, hit me.
I was like, I'd get to know you're ready, Hannah. Wake up. Okay.
I'm ready. I'm sitting up in my chair.
Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share? And the woman is 6 weeks postpartum with her 4th kid. So I want to hear this.
So do you want to know pre-baby or now?
I want to know right now.
Right now, we do a lot of cluster feeding before bed.
Great.
So we do a lot of cuddling and nursing. I've never watched as much Netflix as I have in the past 6 weeks. But if in all seriousness, if I can, evening before bed would be when I would probably get in like a little mini meditation. I have a meditation app, and I'll just do a couple minutes of a guided meditation then. It's usually when I get a chance to talk to my husband also. But other than that, our routine is no routine at this point.
Sometimes those are the best routines to have. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now? Or what Netflix series are you binging on at the moment?
I dabble in both fiction and nonfiction. I am very heavy into nonfiction. I'm reading a lot of postpartum recovery books right now because I'm just interested in what's out there. Because I've got some stuff, you know, floating around my brain about what my next steps will be business-wise. But I think every third or fourth nonfiction book, I throw in a fiction book. And I'm always shocked by how quickly I can get through a fiction book after making it through a nonfiction book. Little treat for me.
Love it. I don't know how you're actually reading right now, but I applaud you. So what are you binging on Netflix? This is not a question I normally ask.
No, that's so interesting. I just finished watching The Marvelous Miss Maisels. So it's not Netflix, it's on Amazon Prime. It's about a female comedian in the mid-1900s. It's very interesting.
Oh, so interesting. It's, on my
it's
list.
Comedy.
I can't imagine you'd enjoy comedy. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Okay.
Eating.
Eating is not my most consistent, actually.
Okay, fine.
I would love to say sleep at this point, but it is. It really is before my little Molly was born. I tried to get my nighttime, tried to get in bed between 10 and 11 every night. The other thing I try to, you know, I make sure to do is I really try to tell my kids I love them all day, every day, whenever I see them. And the days when I'm like, especially frustrated, we'll say, with them, I try to tell them I love them even more, because I think that their connecting with my family is really important for my health.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love that. What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I'm a really good dancer.
Oh.
In my heyday, I loved hip hop. And I when we go to like, now my only opportunity really is we go to weddings, but my husband's always embarrassed by my dancing. But I think my next big project is going to be going to an adult dance class.
I thought you were going to say like a postpartum exercise series on dance and pelvic floor rehab. I was like, you got a market there.
It's very niche, Megan.
It's very niche. Yeah, that's right. Got a niche in. What do you do for fun or play?
What I do? I try to have fun with everything that I'm doing. Many of my clients, I sing a lot when I'm doing pelvic physio. Those two don't necessarily mesh in everyone's brains, but they do in mine. Dancing, run around. I try to make play part of everything.
Amazing. And last question for you, Hannah. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think that's a tough one. I wouldn't have described myself as an entrepreneur had you asked me 10 years ago. Looking back. I like to do things my own way. But I think that it's sort of the, I would say it's the same nature nurture discussion we have about everything. I think there's, you can be born with it, but if you nurture it, then it can grow. And I think that some people can grow into it as well. I'm going to say a little bit of both, Megan.
Fair answer. You have the floor. I'll let you answer any way you want. Hannah Ross, it has been a pleasure to finally have you on the podcast. People are going to want to know where to find you. What are we going to tell them?
They can find me at my website, vitalphysiotherapy.com, or on Facebook. My personal Facebook is Hannah Magda Ross, but you can find us as well at Vital Physiotherapy and Wellness Toronto, or on Instagram, Vital Physiotherapy and Wellness.
Amazing. We'll hook everyone up with all those URLs and all those links to you in the show notes. Hannah, thanks so much for being here.
For having me, Megan. It's been a pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.